meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
All right. Here we go.
Drew.
My favorite thing about this is the glee with which you approach the show now.
Drew Ward. Couple of things. First off, right before we went on the air, Drew called me Monsieur, which is always trouble.
Yeah.
He warned me that he had gas. He warned me that it was high volume and that it was high octane, that it was, what else, Drew?
High intensity. Novelty.
High intensity is something I look for in a sport deodorant, but when it comes to your ass,
no,
that's tough. And
you're
I know
for 110% commitment.
I know what Drew is capable of in the ass department, and this is a very small room, and it's his ass between me and the door. There's no windows and no ventilation, so it's potentially a very dangerous place to be. But I'm counting on you as a physician, remembering your Hippocratic oath not to do any harm.
Again, I just enjoyed the glee with which you sort of assimilated the information.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yeah, man, it was tough. I thought the balloon over your head read something like, you're just trying to make me happy.
Well, I had a long night last night. I did Howard Stern this morning, and I went to bed at 1:30 and got up at 3:20.
Nice.
Oh, man. It's like my alarm went off at 3:20, and I was like, what the F? What is this?
Yeah, where am I?
What is this? Yeah. Why is this noise? Where's this noise? And I never get out of it. Like, I'm the guy who pops up before the alarm, but I was right. Like, what is this? And it's darker at 3:30 in the morning than it is at 12:30 at night. It's just, it's dead. Everything completely shut down. Mm-hmm. You don't hear anything. Crickets are asleep. Everything's down. And I got the engineer coming over. God bless this guy. Engineer coming over the house. Engineer.
Whoa.
Kenneth.
Wow.
3:30 in the morning.
To come. Oh, you did it at the house?
I did it at my house.
Wow.
Broadcast it from my house.
Nice deal.
Yeah. Not nice for the engineer.
No.
Guy looked like a train wreck. He just, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe he went to bed at midnight and set his alarm for 2:30 or something. No. It was a disaster. You know, he looked like he'd been up all night. He came over. It's weird putzing around your house at 3:30 in the morning with a guy you've never met in your life.
That's got to be bizarre.
It's kind of weird. Like, yeah. You're in your bathrobe and slippers. He's walking around your house. He's plugging stuff in. He's asking you questions like, hey, can I use, you have another phone line? And you're doing this.
Let me think.
Who are you?
Yeah. What's a
phone?
Hold
on a second.
Phone?
Did I just walk in and you were robbing this place? I think, let me hit you with this lamp and play it safe. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. So that was great. So I did that till 7:30 in the morning and then went back to bed for a couple hours. So good times. Got my compass spun around a little, but I'm feeling good.
All right, good.
Always makes for a good show, Drew.
Yeah. I was honestly looking forward to spending some time with you alone.
Yeah.
We need some more time together.
We need us time.
I need to talk to you about that.
Right.
I brought this up once before, and you didn't respond.
What, with us time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm thinking about cheating.
All right. Hey, come on, buddy. Raheem?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have this girl that is pregnant now. Well, I'm not with her. I broke up with her after she told me that.
But it's your child.
Yes.
Well, breaking up would be the natural move, wouldn't it, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And I have the girl, my old girlfriend that I was with before the girl that was pregnant. I kind of want to get back with her.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is with both of the girls, the reason why I'm not with them is because I'm not getting along with their kids.
Mm-hmm. How many kids do they both have?
The one that's pregnant now has 3 and 1 on the way. And my old girlfriend is 2.
How old is the one who's pregnant now?
32.
How many different fathers?
5.
It's going to be 4, including me.
Wow.
I thought only cats did that.
No, Drew. Where you been? That's the trend, man. How dare you? And you want to get back? What about you get back with someone who has no kids, and you focus on not having any more kids?
There you go.
Until you get married and stuff.
That's option number three.
Yeah,
we'll go for three.
I would say so. I mean, you're 23 years old, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're not particularly crazy about these kids, or here's the problem with the kids. Kids add an extra element that makes it almost impossible to have a casual or friendly relationship with a young girl when you're young yourself. Mm-hmm. It adds a certain immediacy.
Well, right.
You can't screw around. That's
right.
It.
It's an imperative.
Right. Yeah, and
you're messing with people's lives.
So everything is magnified. Mm-hmm. You get caught cheating, it's huge. You get caught doing anything, you do something medium, it's huge. And if you do something huge, it's tremendous.
Nova.
Right. So why not find someone who's single but doesn't have any kids, but what are you going to do about this last kid?
The one that I'm having?
Mm-hmm.
But see, I kind of feel bad not being with her at all.
Yeah. Well, what about the kid?
Oh, well, you know, that's still... I'm going to be there for the child.
All right. But listen,
you're going to be the...
You got to use protection next time, right?
Yeah, condoms are expensive, though.
Oh, please.
And kids aren't?
Well, theoretically, right. I'm going to be paying for this kid. You're not going to be paying for this kid. Look, find a single girl who doesn't have any kids and don't get her pregnant, all right?
Right.
All right. Forget about these two with the four kids and five dads and, Jesus Christ. We're not going to intervene at all as a society about this stuff. We're just,
that's the right.
That's the right. It's the right. Dan?
Yes, Adam.
You're 45. What's up?
I'm too old to be listening.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a pecan tree branch.
Nice.
That I've cured. It's 6 inches in diameter, and I want to cut it into little planks to make a music box. Any ideas?
You got a table saw or a band saw?
Neither. Is that what you would recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I never took lumber in its raw form and milled it for the most part. I've pretty much got my stuff already milled away, but then I've milled it after I got it.
But you didn't make like fine...
I made a couple little things like that.
All right.
You don't have any tools, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I've got plenty, but not a table saw, not a band saw.
Well, what do you got?
I've got a Sawzall.
Yeah.
And I've got a circular saw.
Oh, you're going to cut your leg off with that thing and that pecan log there. And what kind of Sawzall, Milwaukee?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top of the line, very nice.
Yeah, new one? What do you got a Sawzall for? What are you, plumber?
No, I'm a contractor.
Really?
Yeah, general contractor.
Yeah, because that's no weekend warrior tool.
What is
that Sawzall?
What is it?
It's a bayonet saw or reciprocating saw.
Mm-hmm. Say it's reciprocating saw, yeah.
You use it for demolition.
In a round? Like a...
No, it's not the...
Oh, yeah.
Bullet stabs.
Wow.
It's stabbing. It's for like hacking out drywall and exactly. Demolition and stuff like that. Hey, you know what you can do, Dan?
What's that?
Why don't you take that log over to a hardwood place? You know, most neighborhoods have not most neighborhoods, but...
Maybe.
You can find little hardwood stores, not Home Depot, but hardwood places, and they'll mill stuff for you.
Oh, would they?
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll mill up a log, but they'll do stuff. You know, they'll mill stuff up. I mean, they'll mill up a stair railing, and you could put the whole thing together.
Mm. Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, take it down to a hardwood specialty place. It's nice. Those places are nice. They smell nice. You go in there, and they're cool. It's like walking into a cigar box.
That should be your business. Think about that, Adam. Oh, my God. You'd have all that equipment there. And people would come to you to do this stuff. You'd make money off it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I could just ride out my life.
Adam, seriously, you ought to.
I'd just sit behind the
all
counter.
All your minion could work there, all the guys that you employ.
Yeah,
no place to go during the day.
We got a special on Purple Heart and Honduras Mahogany. And we got some poplar back there. You know, the poplar, very popular wood. And then I laugh every time, and I spit when I laugh. Yeah. It'd be a good life. I'm telling you, those hardwood places, they smell nice.
I bet.
The guy, and they feel different.
Yeah.
There's so much wood around you.
Yeah.
And they have all this crazy stuff, this hard purple stuff from the rainforest and everything.
Wow.
It's nice, yeah. You could do worse.
Let's go.
You could do worse. Mm-hmm. Nick?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I signed up for this thing, you know, where we get to, you know, basically exchange emails for a while with a German student.
Right.
And I was wanting to know how to, you know, kind of possibly ease into some kind of a relationship or something.
With, is it a chick?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, I mean, we got to choose who our person was, but we don't know much about him.
Mm-hmm. You know what they look like?
No.
Oh, Nick, stop. Just stop. Stop. I find this amusing.
What? It's a funny character. Oh, it says up on the screen.
Yeah.
Nick, are you funny?
Well, it depends.
Just a rascal here. Just a barrel of
laughs.
Yeah. The only time I can really be funny is when I make fun of myself.
All right, that's all right. A little self-deprecating humor.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you know? Maybe this German chick, maybe she's ugly.
Well, that is a possibility. I imagine that, you know, one of the first things we'd be able to exchange would be a photo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, hold, Drew. What? Hold on. Oh, no! No! Oh, Drew, no. No, Drew. No. I've had such a long day. No. You cannot fart like that again. Oh, my God. What did you eat? Drew, what are you covering your face for?
I told you it's horrible.
Oh, you like it, though. You know my clothes are going to smell like your ass now. I wore flannel. So that's a shirt just washed. You know, normally I wear stinky shirts in here that smell and they're old and I wear multiple nights. When's the last time you saw this shirt on me?
A long time ago.
That's right.
It's a nice heavy.
Brand new.
Nice heavy linen there, though. Get you.
The shirt, it smelled like a pine forest before I came in here. Now it smells like a port of sand. All right. Drew, don't do that now. Now open the door. Come on. What'd you eat? Did you eat some onions?
Don't open the door, Drew. No.
Open the door. Nick?
Yeah?
Drew, don't pretend like you don't want to breathe it. And don't do that cover-up thing, because then when someone comes in here, they don't know who farted.
What cover-up thing?
The thing where you put your shirt in front of your face. Now there's two of us with our shirts in front of our faces, and no one knows who farted.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I think I can smell that.
Yeah, I bet you could. Where are you, in Austin?
Yep.
Yeah, that thing's probably up in the jet stream. Probably over Texas by now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, wise guy. So listen, why can't you find anybody in your city, your school?
Well, a real person.
Well, I guess I've kind of developed, sort of a bad reputation as kind of a loser, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean loser?
Well, like, not somebody you'd want to go out with.
Yeah, why not?
Just various things.
Mm-hmm. Are you a decent student?
Well, I'm all right.
Your parents have money?
Not very much.
You have a car?
No.
You gonna get your driver's license?
I'm not planning on it.
Later, let me talk to Drew for a second. Is it at a certain point? I mean, there's certain people that can't get laid, that can't get a date, and they're not popular for obvious reasons. For other people, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow around 14, 13, 14, sort of announce to the world that they're not popular and that they're not going to get laid, and that they're the mayor of Nerdsville, and then they just start living that life. They're wearing crappy clothes and weird glasses, and they actually become their biggest fear.
Nick is so flat, though.
I know.
He's like impaired.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah?
What's up there, buddy? Come on now. Let me explain something to you. It's true you're not going to get laid on American soil, but it's only because you're not facilitating it. You're hanging your head. You're talking that weird voice. You're saying, I'm not very popular.
It's not like it bothers me.
Yeah, it does bother you. It's going to bother you, and it should bother you if it doesn't.
It should bother.
So, you should be bothered.
You should try to do things to... I don't think you want to be around people.
You got to participate, buddy. You got to get your driver's license. You got to get some friends. You got to ask some girls out. You got to get your grades going. You got to do stuff at school. You got to go off to college.
It turns out the human really develops by virtue of relations with other humans. That's how we develop.
How about the relationship between your ass and my nose, Drew? They're having quite a love affair.
It's dysfunctional, but yes, they're involved right now.
Thank you.
But be that as it may, you need to get out and start sort of interacting and connecting with people, Nick. That's the only way. And as you do, you'll be surprised that other people sort of come around and the girls may be attracted to you. But you got to put yourself out there.
All right, Nick.
All right.
Hey, listen, buddy. Listen, I don't care. You can go die alone. Doesn't matter to me. But whatever you do, and you will have a crappy life if you continue going the direction you're going with the attitude you have, it's your decision. You want something, you got to go do something. All right.
And if you can't, maybe get some help with it. If he's that impaired, if he's so, you know, has social phobia or something that's legitimately...
I don't know if he sounded that way or not. He was definitely depressed, and he was quirky. And I think there's a thing about sort of rolling in your own mess. When you're 16 and a male, females do it too. You somehow decide that somebody puts you in this position, and now you're just gonna live it, man.
Well,
it takes work. You got to get your driver's license. You got to go take a test. You got to go get in line. You got to shell out a few bucks. You got to do a bunch of stuff.
He's not aware of the value of being around people, though. So his thing is like, I'm alone. I'm a loser. So what?
Right, well, don't call us and ask us how to pick up a German chick.
A part of him, of course, does miss the connection with other people badly.
Well, I guess whichever part's bigger is going to win.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk to Karen, 24.
Hello.
Karen? Hello.
How you doing?
I was doing pretty... Actually...
You're better.
I was a 5 when I started, and I slid down to about a 2.5 after Drew's...
Because of Drew, yeah. I totally understand.
His ass spoke to me. What's up?
What's up, Karen?
Well, I'm just kind of curious about my relationship habits, I guess, with men. It seems like I steer myself towards men who are always older, and sometimes I just wonder if it's ever going to just lead to anywhere but... You know, relationship heartache.
Mm-hmm. Are these guys married? Are they married?
One was.
All right,
but that was it.
That's going to lead to heartache, right? No matter what.
Well, yeah. No, I totally got over that one.
So why do these other guys leave you unfulfilled?
Well, I've been in a relationship with the older guy for almost two years now, and I stick with him because I feel like I love him, which I, you know, deep down I do. But
how old is he?
45.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. I mean, that's sort of my peer age, really.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about guys that date somebody in their 20s or even their teens, it's like, it's not just unnatural. It feels like they're plucking someone from their reproductive prime, you know? Like, what are you going to do at 45, really? You want to have, please, who are you kidding?
Yeah.
These people, are, you know, a 25-year-old is looking for reproduction. They're looking for, you know, establish a family and a relationship. And that's the natural... sort of life stage they're in.
Yeah.
And for a 45-year-old to pluck someone out of that, it's like, it's disturbing to me.
You're disturbed at the 45-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, there's a part of me that hears about Alan Thicke going out with, the hell's her name, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm.
What's her name?
Christy Swanson.
Christy Swanson when she's 16 or 17 or whatever the hell she is, and he's 40. Part of me is disgusted, and then the other part of me wants to beat off.
That's natural enough, but to actually do it, it's, again, this whole idea of impure thoughts versus the action. And, yes, of course, males are naturally attracted to women in reproductive prime. That's how it works. That's what's supposed to happen.
I don't know if 17's your reproductive prime.
No, but I mean, that they're supposed to. But either you end up exploiting someone who's got an issue, or you're sort of plucking someone away from what their normal sort of stage of life would be.
Well, these guys don't care.
I know that. That's why I'm disturbed.
They're not that interested.
Either way.
Here's how you know they're not that interested in you, because they're interested in you.
Yeah.
You see that?
Karen?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. What's this guy? Is he married or anything?
No. He's never been married, never had kids.
Does he want to get married and have kids?
See, I think he's gotten past that stage in life to where he feels that marriage isn't, you know, it's nothing important, but to him, if he gets married, it's not really a big deal.
Well, hell, his life expectations about another 15 years.
Why don't you get married?
Yeah, you know.
He'll be driving his car in a few years.
He feels that it's too late to start a family as well. So I kind of wonder, you know.
All right, well.
Genuinely, he cares for me, but, you know, where else do the feelings go, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You need another guy then.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't go over 32 or 34. That's it. Seriously, it's just a different stage of life. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. That's your. I'm 38. I'm home waiting to die every weekend.
Yeah, it's been since you were 22, though.
No. I haven't waited home to die since I was, early 30s.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. God knows what I'll be doing at 45.
Mm.
I'll be on my roof waiting to die. Like, I don't want the Grim Reaper to have to come in, maybe thinks I'm not home, sees the lights aren't on, goes to the neighbor's house. Actually, that'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my neighbor. Yeah, I'll just get up on the roof. I'll get up on the roof and take a piece of lightning rod and just put it right up my ass and just lie legs akimbo right on the roof, waiting for some lightning.
I told you I had a neighbor experience like yours, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Well, here's the problem with neighbors, everybody. First off, you know, people always talk about home ownership and how great it is. It's great, except for the guy who owns the home next to you, who's always an a-hole.
What is that?
Because I'll tell you what ends up happening.
I'm surrounded by it.
I know, because here's the deal. Anyone who owns a home who's older than 55 is a royal pain in the ass.
What is that?
Because that's all they got is their little plot of land, and they like to patrol it. And they love it when you ask them something so that they can say no, and they can think about it. And yes, they can. See, here's the problem. Young people...
You're right.
Are busy living their life,
right?
Working, mm-hmm. taking care of business, trying to build their families, their future, their mm-hmm. career, whatever it is.
And you're looking right in square into the future in your neighbor. There it is.
Right.
That's the future you're
building. That's
going to
be me.
Yeah.
Walking around
in your underpants.
Walking around in a jumpsuit with my initials on it, a pair of indoor outdoor slippers, and poking around with a hose, carrying a hose everywhere. What's up? And getting all crazy about stuff. Whose hose is that? Neighbors, these guys, I don't know what happens. You get old, you go nuts with, like, the hose.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a good-looking hose you got there, Pinsky. No, what'd that set you back?
You go nuts with something.
Yeah.
Something obscure. It's like, my neighbor, it was the shrubs when that one neighbor for you.
Yeah.
I have a fire hazard neighbor.
Yeah.
Everything's fire hazard.
Yeah, they get into something. Well, you're going to cut those shrubs back. Yeah, you got 200-foot clearance over here. And they just hang around all day. There's like a buzzards just circling you. And you're busy and you want to get stuff done. And whatever you ask them, oh, I don't know, I better think about it. You get old. I've said this many times, Drew. You see those bumper stickers on the cop cars, stop elderly abuse. I want them to stop abusing us. I swear to Christ, we get more abuse from the elderly than we dish out. And considering we could kick the elderly's ass, we ain't doing a lot of abusing considering their attitude. These elderly, they're begging for a good beating, and we ain't putting it down on them. I'm saying we're being very generous to the elderly. You know, and they're always like, the Japanese, they revere their elders. They would never do anything disrespectful to their elders. But you know what? I think their elders are better than our elders. They don't got old Jews over there. They got old Japs over there. And they sit around, they're nice. They bow and they make the bed and they're friendly. They're cooking, taking care of the kids. We got a bunch of crazy old. And by the way, Jew or Gentile, everyone turns Jewish over 75. That's what happens. It just starts complaining about everything. What's this? There really could be a little more abuse. I'd be all right with it, Drew. I'll get that bumper sticker spread up.
Put you down for some.
Yeah, make that bumper sticker. How about a little more elderly abuse? Oh, no, wait. Elderly, stop abusing us. That's what I want to say. It's neighbors. I think let's just send them all one big golf course community in Arizona somewhere. Just pluck out all the pains in the asses. There's popcorn. There's styrofoam peanuts blowing down my street. Who's going to pick that up? You give someone a house and you take away their job, and anyone who lives around them is just in a world of hurt. And they just walk around all day. They get some old decrepit dog, and they drag it up and down the street all day, and their head's on a swivel. Who's that car? There's a car's been parked there. Let me out. It's been there for about, seems like 2 days now. I better call the meter. I had neighbors calling meter maids and stuff. Had a car towed. Had my friend's car towed from in front of my house, you know, just parked, not even on the street, just on the gravel in front. It was there for 3 days. We had to call the meter. What's the problem? We think there's a bomb in it. Al-Qaeda's Miata. Jesus Christ, you old Fs. Just put some foil over the windows and turn the TV on and wait to die, would you? Leave the living alone. All right, Drew. I don't know what got me going there.
There's the heavy air in here.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, that's a bad gear shift there. Well, that is. That's like going from first into fourth. It starts to pick up a little bit, but
that's called lazy, and that wasn't me.
All right, that is not Anderson. Anderson is not the guy who put together a tape like that. He's the kind of guy who wouldn't listen to it in advance and then play it on the air. But he's not the kind of guy who would put that thing together.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Only quality.
Jason.
Yeah.
You're 24. What's up?
I was talking about a conversation he had with somebody last week who said that his girlfriend liked to stick her finger in his ass, and you didn't believe him. And I just wanted to call and say that that is true. It does happen, and it happens to me. And my question, I guess, is it normal? The thing is, she likes it for me to do it to her, and then when it comes time for her to do it to me, I tell her I don't want it, and she, you know, gets offended and gets defensive. And I just wanted to let you know it does happen, and I'm just curious.
Wait, Jason, what we said was...
Yeah, we didn't say
it doesn't happen. It happens all the time. But we said that you'll never find a guy or it's rare to find a guy that's really into it, okay, that really enjoys it. And that Cosmo would tell every woman on Earth that that's where the magical spot is for men. That's where the G-spot is. But the fact is, very few men find that anything but ouch or uncomfortable or what the hell are you doing.
I wish someone would break a finger off in your ass tonight so it would block up the gas.
Explode.
And so, Jason, it happens. But you told her you don't want it, right?
Yeah, but she gets offended and defensive.
No.
Well, maybe she really likes it. Her thing is she has trouble. She's so narcissistic.
Why does she get offended?
Maybe she has trouble believing that he doesn't like it or something. You know, some people get really.
Why would she have trouble believing?
Because she's so narcissistically focused that she likes this thing. How could anybody else not?
How much does she like it, Jason?
A lot.
You know, not any more than any other girl, I don't think. But just she's not offended to it. I mean, you know, against the idea. So
Hold on.
That's very different the way you presented it.
Putting your finger in her butt.
Yeah.
How much is she a big fan of that, or does she tolerate it?
Oh no, she's actually. If you're putting it that way, she's a fan.
Okay,
that's what we're asking.
Okay. All right.
Well, listen,
I guess my question would be, then, how can I tell her in a way that would make her understand? I mean, you're telling me that all these Cosmo magazines are telling the girls it's okay. What's the best way for me to make her really understand this?
That you're put together differently and it really hurts.
Wait a minute. You told her that you didn't want that, didn't you?
Yeah, and like I said.
All right. Your girlfriend attempts to insert a digit into your rectum. You tell her, hey, I don't like that. And then you call the radio show and say, what is the best way to tell her to really make her understand? Let's just forget finger and anus, and let's just say you don't like liver.
Yeah.
And she made you up some nice calf's liver. And you told her, I don't like calf's liver.
Appreciate the intent. Not for me.
Smells good. Don't like it.
No.
Now, do you gotta call the radio show to ask us how to tell you to tell her you don't like the liver, or you just tell her again you don't like the liver?
Right.
And by the way, if she can't handle that, and if she can't figure that out, or if she takes offense to that, she thinks you're a liar, or looks at it as a slap in the face, she's insane. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jeremy?
Hey.
Yeah, hey.
Great talking to you guys.
Great talking to you, Jer.
It's kind of hard to when I live in Ohio and you guys are clear over there.
Yeah. Well, that's what they got those phones for.
Yeah, whether you were calling from Los Angeles or Ohio, it could be equally as tough to get through, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the three-hour difference.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
But, real quick question. You guys, I've heard you say you do this 7 days a week.
5 days a week.
5?
Well, probably we were doing it 6 when we were doing the TV show.
Yeah.
Then you might have heard that.
You probably shouldn't have heard us saying we're doing it 7 days a week.
Yeah, I think it was you, Adam, that said we do this every night.
Oh,
well, I can see every night.
Yeah.
I could have said every night. Sometimes people come in on this show, and they come in on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or Monday, and they're like, they assume that's the only night the show is on, which I don't know.
You mean the guest comes in on those?
Yeah, I'm sorry, when the guest comes in, and I always tell them we do the show every night, but I mean 5 nights a week. Like, you might say you work every day, but
right.
You're talking, Monday through Friday.
Gotcha. Yeah,
all right.
That's because I was going to say, how do I catch the Saturday and Sunday night shows?
Thanks there, buddy.
Oh, I love your show. I emailed you guys a couple times, but
oh.
I guess you haven't got to it.
Yeah, we haven't looked at any email in about
18 months.
18 months.
Longer?
I could say 5 years.
Oh, jeez.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Let me say something.
Do we get email, Ann?
Interesting about this.
We get email.
Oh, we do, yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. What would happen if we actually saw it?
Would
I melt or something? My eyes would burn out of my head?
Wouldn't Adam complain a lot, though, if he had tons of email to read through?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's most shows want your input. They want your faxes, your emails. They want your calls. I don't know of any other show that... is there any other national talk show that looks at no emails? Drew, what are you doing?
Oh, no. Nothing. You're just worried I'm positioning myself?
You did look like
you're putting your
feet up.
No. I'm just stretching here.
Yeah. It's true. You start asking for emails. Next thing you know, you're reading emails. And the next thing you know, you're showing up 6 or 8 minutes before the show starts and leaving 8 or 10 or 12 minutes after the... It sounds like a very slippery slope to me, Drew.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I assume on the email. 80% good, 15% bad, and then 5% something I could learn, but it's not worth the other 95%.
Hmm.
The 5% is probably more like 1.
Yeah, you're probably right. Thanks, Jeremy.
So what's up? What's up, Jeremy?
I'm 29 and my girlfriend's 23. We've been together 5 years, and she was a virgin when we first met, and she's just never really... She was a virgin because she has... She was raised in an excellent family. She's very smart, has a lot of self-esteem and high self-esteem.
Hmm,
and,
right. Why don't I believe that?
I just... Hmm. I'm just wondering, is there anything we can do to get her libido up?
What's happening now? What are you guys doing?
She's just never been into sex.
Never been into it.
Yeah, the reason she was a virgin when I met her is because she was never into it.
She wasn't interested.
Right.
That was her high self-esteem.
I mean, I'm sorry.
She what?
She hung around friends that got into sex a lot, too much. But she just never messed with it because she knew that she didn't have to. She got with guys that wanted to and just said, no, not into it.
Forget. Let's not stop talking about the past. What is the problem now? How often are you guys doing this?
We have sex probably 4 or 5 times a week. But she's not into it.
Well, maybe that's more than she can sort of be into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
How do you know she's not into it?
How do I know?
Yeah.
Because I always have to be the one to initiate it.
Yeah.
That's
in the 5 years we've been together, she's initiated it 3 times.
That has nothing to do with her libido. Most women are terribly uncomfortable initiating
it. Once every 20 months.
And I would almost bargain to guess that it's most. I don't know how to initiate. They don't have that skill.
Right.
I feel very uncomfortable with it and will not do it. They don't like doing
it. Oh, they've been together for 5, 6 years. They can figure it out.
I really, that's what I think. No, what I think is Jeremy wants her to do that. Because men want to feel desired by their partner. That's very important. I know you want to sleep and be left alone by your partner. But most men want to feel like their partner desires them. The evidence of that is that they kind of initiate, even if it's just a hint, like, wouldn't it be nice? But most women, no, they are receptive, which is an estrogenic effect. They wait for you to pitch, and they will receive, but they won't start it out. It's just not in their system.
Yeah.
That's just the way a lot of women are, and you've got to accept that, Jeremy. It doesn't mean she doesn't desire. It doesn't have anything to do with her libido. You're having sex five times a week, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Something's wrong with Jeremy.
Give her a break, yeah.
Something's up with Jeremy. I got some weird vibes off of him. It's tough because he's a big fan of the show.
No, I don't get
no, that. No, listen. Jeremy.
Not the usual level.
No, Jeremy's all right. Jeremy's got some weird ideas about female sexuality.
I'll give you that.
Jeremy's like, she was a virgin because she comes from a real good family,
right.
Real high self-esteem.
Right.
She had other friends that were having sex.
Right.
Maybe too much sex. She would date men,
right?
But she wouldn't have sex with him. It's like he's got some real issues involving
women
her
and
the kind of person that she should be and her
just women and
her
sex.
Sexuality.
Yeah, women and sex.
Yes.
She probably picks up on that.
Oh, yeah. And Jeremy.
Yeah.
You got to look into those issues you have with women and sex.
They're not a big deal. Not a big deal. They're more sort of...
The reason I say all that is because I've been with many, 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 many girls. And
he's bisexual.
Hang on a second. Hold on. Put him on.
And most of them I've been with.
Hold on a second. Now, I'm going to tally that up. What would many, 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 many be to you? I'm just curious.
For me?
No, what would
four.
What does that interpret? What does that...
I can't a three-quarter for each many.
What's the number for him that you interpret him to mean?
Well, a 29-year-old guy...
Many, 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 many.
I don't want to jinx it. I'm going to write the number down.
All right, let me write one down, too.
That I think is his number.
All right, I'm writing mine down, too. I'm not seeing yours. Let me have your pen. And now, by the way, I think his number is going to be dramatically less than what the bubble over my head that I heard.
Oh, well, I'm writing what I think his number is. Jeremy?
That looks more legitimate. Yep.
Just let me know when you're ready.
What's your number?
Between 70 and 80.
Ooh, I was getting close.
You've had intercourse with between 70 and 80?
That's right.
All right, well, that's the number, that's the range I was thinking.
You always cut guys in half, though, and girls, you double them.
Right.
Well, 7 to 80, that's not 20.
I'm not BSing you.
Well, wait a minute. What? You guys been together for 5 years, six years.
That's right.
So what were you doing? Where were you getting all this tail?
I was in a rock band.
Really?
There we go.
Yeah, all hair one length down to my waist. I'm 29 years old. I still look like I'm 17. I get it all the time.
Yeah, but you, though, then you sort of have a thing about women and sexuality. You learned that there was something sort of...
Exactly, yeah. Know. Oh, yeah. I'm totally ate up about when it comes to women.
All right.
I totally agree with that.
You got to
let her off the hook a little bit.
Got to let some of that energy go. Yeah. She's a little different. She has sex with you 4 times a week. That's plenty. And she's receptive. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Just relax.
See, he's used to screwed up women presenting at rock concerts.
Yeah.
That's an energy that you're not going to find in a healthy person, I'm sorry to say. At least not consistently.
Yeah, and really, I don't know. Do you need your partner to find you attractive, or you just need her to let you hump her?
Men need to feel... I mean, you're a very, very secure man, Adam. Very. And so what most men need is...
I just assume anyone who's letting me hump them is attracted to me.
Most men need to feel, not all, but men to feel like some nod that there's something attractive that they're... Yeah, you agree? Anderson?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. All right.
It doesn't have to be overt. It just, once in a while you need...
I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
It doesn't surprise me.
All right. I'm very secure. We'll be back. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Feel good. Ate something that was in my freezer, just staring at it for about a year. Decided to eat it today.
Is that what just came out in the hallway here?
That reminded me.
That's nice.
Oh, not in the hallway. That was you.
Oh, that was... No, that was you.
No, that was you. You mean outside?
Yeah.
That smell down the
hall?
Yes. It was you, wasn't it?
It was you.
That was me?
Yeah. Well, but way down at the end there.
We farted simultaneously.
Yes, and I walked over to where you were and nearly got knocked over.
Why was I running through it with my shirt up over my face then? I thought that was you.
Mm-mm. I thought you were afraid of what you might run into.
Drew, I think that was you in the hall. Drew let one go down in the hallway, and then I let one go a couple seconds later. I'm not packing your kind of punch tonight, Drew.
All right.
Are you trying to pin that on me, or do you really think that's me?
No, I thought that was you. Seriously.
But a fart is like your own kid. Like,
you seem very proud. I thought that.
No, I was just laughing because it smelled you coming down the hall. Chris?
Hey.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
My dad's got TB, and I'm wondering,
how it might affect the rest of us.
He has active tuberculosis? He's coughing and this sort of thing?
Somewhat, yeah.
And he's on medication now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, when people are coughing with pulmonary tuberculosis, tuberculosis of the lung, if they're what's called a droplet former, they can be highly contagious, but not a significant number are actually droplet formers. So not everyone with pulmonary tuberculosis is actually even contagious.
Certain kind of person's a droplet former?
Just the lucky people. Now, you'll be tested for tuberculosis to see if you've been exposed to it, if you have primary tuberculosis, or if you have the reactivation. They'll probably do a chest x-ray on you. And if either of those are positive, you'll be treated, and it's pretty treatable disease these days. So it's and after Dad's been on antibiotics for 48 hours, he really should be no longer contagious.
It used to kill you, right?
Yep.
Just no antibiotics, no way to cure it?
It's a very tough, very difficult organism to get.
Easy to spread?
No, as I said, it's not that easy to spread.
Oh.
You have to be, it has to be pulmonary, you have to be a droplet former, you have to be coughing.
Well, pulmonary, if you're hacking away, it's pulmonary, is
it
not?
Yes, but not, but TB can be in the kidney, it can be in the bladder, it can be skin, it can be the
traditional form is guys coughing all day long. Sebastian?
What's up, Adam?
You're 27, what's going on?
Oh, I have a question, and I was trying to think about how to form it, and you guys are a big inspiration, and thank you, by the way, for everything. You guys are actually on my answering machine. That's how much I love you.
Wow. Doing what?
Adam is saying something like, Sebastian can't come to the phone because he's masturbating or something. Actually, I had to take it off because I'm trying to get a job, and I don't want anyone to...
Right.
My dad
made you change it.
Yeah. He said it was unprofessional or something like that.
How dare he?
Yeah, that's what I said. But anyway, my problem is this. I hear other people talk about relationships of a year in length or 2 years or longer, and it boggles my mind because I date and I date and I date and I get dumped and dumped and dumped.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a job.
That's true, but I hear you guys talk about how you have to, you know, work on yourself and, you know, get exercise and, you know, graduate from college and stuff. And I'm working really hard at all of that, and I just graduated from college. And
you know what, though? But for men, it takes a while to build up enough sort of equity. That's literally what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time. There's a lot of delayed gratification in that for men.
Oh, my God.
And then on the other side of that, that's when you sort of collect. And you may be a few years off from that yet.
And that's what people say, but it just, you know, it gets real lonely sometimes.
I bet.
And I try to figure out what it is about me that is so...
Well, it's not really about you.
That's what all my friends say, Adam. That is exactly what people I know who say. And
I
think that's bogus, because here's why. You know, I started off the year... I hear that a lot. That's why I'm reacting so strongly. I started off the year in a six-month relationship... And got dumped from that. And then it went on to a two-month relationship, then a one-month. And these past 3 weeks, I've literally been on three separate planned dates. And for one reason or another, got, you know, the guy never showed up.
Okay.
Or go ahead.
The guy or the girl?
The guy.
Oh, you're gay.
You're gay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's more difficult to find. You know, listen, you go into the bookstore and look at the books that document and lament the lack of monogamy in gay relationships and how frustrating it is for a lot of men that are sort of capable of that.
SOL?
No, it means you're a healthy guy and you want to have a stable relationship and you live in a culture that doesn't make that easy. I would seriously suggest you go to a bookstore and go in the gay and lesbian literature and look at the books that talk about this, because it is a common problem. And it's not about you.
Well, so what? It's a common problem. Now, he still wants to remedy it.
No, I understand, but it's going to be how you select, who you select to be with. It's going to be, you're going to have to be a much more selective process, and you're going to have to be accepting of going through a lot of people before you sign up.
I don't know what to do. You say friends of friends, and I have friends of friends, and people say, you know, it's because you date guys from online, and people say that it's because you date only guys, and if you dated girls, all of this would go away magically.
No. You're not attracted. You're gay. What are they talking about?
Well, listen, if you dated girls, it would help a little bit as you get a little bit older. I mean, you're a 27-year-old guy. You hook up with a 27-year-old chick. She's going to be looking to lay down some stakes, start a family.
But listen, I have...
Guys have no biological clock.
But I have talked to men also, as they hit their 30s, testosterone levels drop. They're interested in stability in relationships. I've talked to a number of gay males who talk about this and how grateful they are they found someone they can be monogamous with who has the same sort of intent in relationships, and it's not all that common.
And not so he, all that common.
For so, in other words, he has to look hard for someone that is as healthy as him, quite literally, and interested in a stable relationship.
Yeah, it's out there. He may need to find a guy who's a couple of years older than him.
Maybe.
Probably more guys over the age of 30. Ever since you started talking about tuberculosis, I've been coughing. But listen, you know, we got to take a break. Here's what I'm saying. Number of gay men who are willing to be monogamous.
Especially in 27.
Under the age of 30.
Yeah.
It steps up 25% as you go over the age of 30.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of that.
And then you go 40, it steps up more, and then yeah. you get over 50, and it drops down dramatically because then you got the old queen thing going.
But I really believe that's related to the testosterone levels, what young males are exposed to biologically.
Right. You get over 50, and you get the guys with the tan salon and wear the kerchiefs around their neck, and you get Paul Lynn. Oh, my God.
I like Lunchables.
Yeah. You get Clive Barker.
That's not him.
Ah, it's not him. I mean, that was him, but that's not him. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's see. Yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Mm. You ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Dan.
Yeah.
You're 18?
I am 18 indeed. How you doing?
Good.
All right, yeah, I've been a long time listener, first time caller.
Great.
Been listening since the good old days. What do you got, Engineer Mike on there now?
We used to have
five
Engineer
4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
Oh, is he still on there?
No.
Oh.
So you haven't listened in a while, I guess, huh?
All right, well, anyway, I've been having a problem, like, lately.
Hold on a second. What does that mean?
When it opens with something like that?
Yeah, big fan. Listen a long time. First time, long time listener. What do you got, Engineer Mike on there?
Man, what motivated that statement? First of all, someone that has been here for, three? Anderson, how long you been here? To hold number of fingers.
Hold up my fingers?
How many years?
I don't know. I feel like 9, but I think it's 3.5.
Yeah.
I'd say it's about 3.5 years. Yeah. Be very hard to listen to the show with any regularity and think Mike was still engineering the show. But I wasn't sure if that was like a slight or just a way for Dan to show that you've been listening for a long time. Dan?
Let me prove. I'm going to prove to you. Okay, remember the one guy called in about he used to have sex with his dog? Or he used to have, let his dog have sex with him?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I remember that. And you guys used to play that every once in a while.
All right. All right, anyway, Dan, you're a loyal listener. Now, what's the...
Shut up! Okay, I've been having a problem lately. Like, I'm, like, really horny lately, and I, like, I don't know why. I'm 18, and I never really had a problem.
Hold on, what's that second part?
What do you mean?
You're 18?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Anyways, it is.
That's the explanation right there.
You're 18, buddy.
Yep.
That's the way it works at 18.
Well... I masturbated about 10 times last night.
All right. Just in the evening?
Yeah.
From when to when?
From about 2:30 to 10:30, I'd say.
All right. That's pretty good run.
And I don't understand why that is.
Well, you started, and then you did another one, and then you did another one. And
well, I know. I never really had. I've just been really horny lately, and I don't know why.
Are you taking any medication?
I don't take any medication.
You depressed?
The only thing I think is I've been really stressed out with school lately.
Have you been manic-y?
Have I been what?
Is there bipolar or manic depression in your family?
Maybe a slight case on my father's side.
Are you feeling sort of manic? Are you not sleeping? And
yeah, I haven't really gotten much sleep lately either. But
why are you stressed out with school?
I don't know. Well, I'm in college now, and I've had a lot of midterms and stuff, and I don't know. I'm just really stressing out lately.
You pansy!
Well, let me say this, Dan. This goes for everything. all things that are sort of bad sort of begat themselves. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Here's what I'm saying. One cigarette begats the other, begats the other, begats the other.
There's momentum with negative energy.
Yeah, if you're a smoker, you may not smoke the whole day, but as soon as you light your first one up, you're going to light your second one up in the next 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. Beaten off's the same way. Squeeze that first one off. You squeeze the first one off, you can walk away. do the second, you're much more apt to get to the third. Mm-hmm. You do the third, and now you're going to six. you know, booze, whatever, drugs, it just... how do you skip from three to six?
No, how do you get to six without needing, like, IV fluid rehydration?
You know, once you get weird, once you start going down that, oh, screw it, it's sort of like with you, Drew, you can imagine it to be akin to, like, eating some chocolates.
Yeah, right.
You won't touch them, and then someone will pop a box of See's candies open.
Game on.
And it's game on.
Yeah.
And now it's like you already feel bad about yourself.
Screw it.
Hell, you're off your diet. What's the difference between, you ate four, might as well eat 12.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's a weird mentality. It's like you broke your cherry or something. It's like, oh, I'm not a virgin anymore. I might as well just bang everyone in school.
Mm. Yeah, it's a strange momentum. Yep, you're right.
You do it gambling. You lose a couple hands, and you're just like, oh, F it, double down. Let's go.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a weird. You should be the opposite.
Yeah.
You should be, geez, I'm on a diet. I'm watching my weight. I already had four candies. Yeah. I'll just stop right here, and that'll be fine.
Some of that is that when you feel shame and disgust... You deal with it by satisfying and gratifying. Whatever it was that you were gratifying yourself with, now it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I feel so awful. At least I'm going to just indulge this.
Shame is an interesting word. And you guys know it when you're in relationships, and it's like, I'm not going to call this. I know. I'm not going to call. I'm going to be man here. I got my pride. You go a whole week without calling that girl you're pining for, and then you call her up. And she's like, hangs up on you, and then you call her back crying like 10 seconds later, and you yell, "I'm coming over."
Yeah.
It's like it's a fast free fall.
Yeah,
you're doing so good, pow! You have that first piece of chocolate, and it's like game on. Mm-hmm. Where's the heroin? Where's the phone? This is what happens. Why not just stop? And I guess the people that do okay in life sort of stop themselves.
Mm.
If you think about it.
Contain that. Yeah.
All right. He needs to do that with the beating off. Jonathan.
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up, guys? You spend so much energy not reaching into the box of chocolate that the second you do reach in, now there's nothing you think you can do about it.
That's right.
Go ahead, Jonathan. You're 19.
Okay, so I met this guy online. I talked to him for a while, and he sounded really cool. He's 17. I'm 19. So we wound up meeting each other after a couple of days, and we hung out. He started out to be really cool until he
you're gay.
Tell me about it.
Yes, we know.
Yeah, about his what?
Drew said you were gay. I knew that.
Well, yeah, I kind of figured it
until
out.
Until he started to tell you about what?
So he started telling me about, like, some of his past relationships. And I guess in one of his last relationships, the guy really hurt him emotionally. And after that, he tried to kill himself by taking a bottle of Vicodin.
Great.
So after a while, he started telling me stuff like he thought he loved me and he thought he was really falling for me and stuff like that.
Uh-oh.
So after the date was over, I took him home, and I went to bed, and then I went to work. And
that was all in one night?
This first date?
Yeah, this is all, like, after, like, a whole day.
Doesn't that sound kind of weird to you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Did you tell him that to kind of keep some boundaries and take it easy?
Kind of. When he would say stuff like he loved me and, like, he was really falling for me, I really wouldn't say it back, but he would just keep on saying it.
Oh, John.
Yeah.
So when I went to bed, I went home, and then I went to bed, and I went to work, and when I came home, I checked my email and my messages on my phone, and I had about 5 emails from him, and I had about 5 phone messages from him on my cell phone. All pretty much were the same. They started out kind of sane, and then they just kind of progressively got worse, kind of like, why aren't you calling me? Why aren't you paying attention to me? Why aren't you...
Do you do anything physical with him? Mild cornholing.
Well, we kissed, but I never really, like I said, I never really said I loved you, or I never
really
was very close
right.
to him.
True, we know.
So, around like the 5th phone message and the 5th emails, I mean, they were just hysterical. He was crying. He was very upset.
Right, how long did it take him to degenerate to that place?
Like
one day?
Hours?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Boy.
So,
alright, hold on, Jonathan.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Obviously, you got someone who's been, you know, who's damaged goods. Someone did something horrible to them. They're a mess. You feel sorry for these people. But it's like, on the other hand, you almost have to treat them like homeless. You see, like, homeless guys walking around, and you go, I just got to look at my feet and keep walking. I can't engage this guy. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he's going to be in my car with me, and I'm going to be trying to find him a job.
Right.
But there's more. When I came home and I listened to all these messages, I wrote him an email, and I told him that, you know, it was kind of freaking me out, and I didn't think I wanted to be in this type of relationship where I needed this kind of stuff. And then he sent me an email back, kind of almost threatening in a way that, you know, he was so depressed and so hysterical right now that he was actually thinking about killing himself again.
Well, that's when you call the police and you have him taken to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's where he needs to go. This is somebody with a severe personality disorder, and he needs treatment. I'm sure he's been in the hospital before, I guarantee it, and it's time for him to go back.
Yeah, and he's asking for help, and anybody who threatens to kill themselves is giving you the green light to call the cops or do whatever
it takes. Your job is not to be responsible for his safety. Your job is to let the people who know how to handle potentially life-threatening situations to do their job.
Yeah.
So.
And really, it's like, it's like tapping the stewardess on the shoulder and telling her you got a bomb in your duffel bag.
Right.
It's like they now have to land the plane.
Yeah.
It's not their job to ask you a bunch of questions or not believe you or whatever. I don't care if you're bluffing or not. Could be filled with newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Going to land the plane. Going to arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Someone says they're going to kill themselves. You got to call the cops. That's it. The rest is on them. I was thinking about this sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wasn't thinking about it, but everyone else was thinking about it, forcing me to think about it. I was talking to, it was a big topic on Stern Show this morning. And for those of you who didn't hear the beginning of our show, I did Howard Stern Show this morning for 5 hours.
Ugh.
And, Drew, you know, it's one thing to set your alarm. You know, I go to bed at 1:30. It's one thing to set that alarm for 3:30, get up and make a phoner, and then hang back up.
Right.
Then it was a dream.
Right.
It's another thing to log. Put it this way. How long we do on this show?
Do we at night?
Yeah.
2 hours.
2 hours. Do two of these shows.
I know. Without having slept.
Just back to back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, it's his show. I don't have to carry it. I don't have to throw it to commercial or do anything. But it just have to be sort of conscious for that period of time. But anyway, talking about the sniper. Oh, my God. I just killed myself by saying two of these shows. Psychologically, that's too now. I'm supposed to do it Friday, too. I can't cope now.
Friday morning?
Friday, whatever.
Oh.
That's Thursday. Two of these shows. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
I got to kill myself when I get home.
Right.
Drew, call the cops. I just threatened to kill myself.
Well,
listen. The sniper.
Yes.
They always do these things where they talk to psychologists. And by the way, you psychologists, you want to know why you have kind of a crappy rap? You know, I don't know who has the worst rap. Chiropractors or psychologists?
Okay.
Everyone seems to hate both of them. That never works, blah, blah, blah. But they always interview these child psychologists, and they're like, well...
Child psychologists?
Well, yeah, they do, because what should you tell your children?
Oh, wow.
What should you tell them about the sniper? Mm. I mean, how do you deal with this? And it's like, here's some advice from a leading expert in child psychology. And you're like, all right, I'm all ears. What is it? Because I'm curious. I don't even have kids, but what are you going to tell your kids about this sniper? And it's like...
Reassure them.
Reassure them that now they're bad people out there. And sometimes these bad people do bad things to good people. And it's like, that's it? That's all? We're done?
You know what that is, though? That's TV people going, come on, come on. No, come on. Just anything. Whatever. Just come on. We'll just do it.
Yeah.
That's not the psychologist.
Let me grab my scratch pad.
That is the TV
film. Bad people. Slow down.
That is news, Adam.
Hold
that
on. Sniper, bad? I may be confused. Bad person, sniper, doing bad things to bad people, or was it good people?
And bad people and good people.
Good people and bad people.
Yeah.
I see. Now, here's my suggestion for any of the people listening in the, was it the D.C. area?
Mm.
And, is that where the sniper is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
you know what they show you? Not a psychologist, but a mathematician.
They need mathematicians.
What's the probability? What's the probability
here? Right.
And then go about your business.
One in a few million.
Yeah, you win the lottery or get shot by the sniper.
Right.
You're more likely to win the lottery. Okay.
They were doing that on the news today. I was very proud of them. Given the actual odds.
Good. What I said on Stern today was, use this to your advantage as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Say... The sniper only kills little boys and girls
that don't do their homework.
Oh,
yeah.
That don't brush their teeth.
Yeah.
That don't clean. Bobby, is that room? Is your bed made?
Sniper.
Okay. Sniper going to get you. Now, here's what this does. This gets you a clean room and some flossed teeth on your kids.
And some discipline.
It does not change the likelihood of your kid getting shot by the sniper 1 percentage point. Unless the sniper truly is listening to you and realize the kid did not make his bed, and it's going to sort of be your judge, jury, and executioner. But I'm guessing the sniper doesn't know this. And it makes the kid feel secure because he brushed his teeth. He's not going to get shot now.
He has control over it.
You give him something to do.
You give him some control. And, by the way, how different is that really than Santa Claus?
How different is it than the boogeyman?
No, Santa Claus. Like, he knows when you've been bad and not bringing you anything if you don't. It's just the flip side of that.
It's the flip side of that, but Santa Claus doesn't put a bullet in your head.
If you've been good,
he doesn't put a bullet in your head if you've been naughty. If you've been nice.
He doesn't bring you any kind of gifts.
You've been nice, you get a big wheel. If you've been naughty, you don't get a bullet in the head.
No, I guess that's true. Sniper Claus.
It's the Sniper Claus. it's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, stay in bed, go to bed, keep, you know, don't let the boogeyman get you, pull the covers up over your head and just keep the door shut and don't come out of, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah,
this would work. Well, then my kid would probably get shot detailing my van or something out in the driveway. Put another coat of carnauba on that van or this, oh, Christ. Oh, Drew.
What? No.
Oh, Drew.
No.
Yes.
No.
Something.
Mm-mm.
I smell something. Belinda?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, first I want to say, Dr. Drew, Adam, I love you guys. You're great.
We dig you, too.
I've been trying to get on this show for like a week and a half.
Oh, right. Belinda.
Yeah.
Drew's been trying to get off for a week and a half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yes. What's up?
Let's see. The father of my child, like, he was very wishy-washy. Like, first he wanted to be there, then he didn't want to be there. And my whole family and all my friends are telling me that I should, like, sue him for child support. But I don't know if that would be in the best interest, you know,
of
the
who?
Baby.
Why? Why wouldn't it?
Why not?
Because,
money?
I mean, I don't want, like, if I force him to be there by making him pay child support, then he can have, like, visitation rights or whatever.
Well, you just want him out of his life altogether.
Well, I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. What about child support? Does that entitle you to visitation?
I didn't think so.
That's what I heard. I talked to a lawyer, and that's what they told me.
Oh.
Really?
That if he pays child support, then he'll probably get visitation.
Yeah. Well, but put it this way. If he wanted to see the kid, he would see the kid anyway, right?
Yeah, do you know that he'd exercise that?
He doesn't want to see the kid, does he?
I don't know. He's wishy-washy. First he wants to be there, then he doesn't want to be there. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, how old's your kid?
Well, it's not born yet.
Oh, I see. You're just pregnant.
Yeah, I'm like 32 weeks pregnant.
32 weeks. That's 4 years?
Like,
how long is that true? Uh-huh. And why don't you just give the kid up for adoption?
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
No way.
Why?
Well, because it's my responsibility.
Well, there.
Yeah, your responsibility to give it a good home and parents that are capable of raising it properly, and that'd be great.
Yeah.
You'd be fulfilling that responsibility.
Yeah, and I think that I'd be a good person to take care of him since he's mine, and I think I'm capable of it.
Yeah, see, that he's mine part, that's the trouble. That's the trouble. What do you mean he's yours?
He's a separate person who needs a family.
Well, I mean, you had some slack or bust a nut in you, big deal.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's it. That's all you did so far.
True, but...
That's all you did. I mean, listen, you don't save every duke that comes out of you, do you?
It's yours.
It's yours. No. You made it. It's all yours.
No.
You didn't do anything. Now, what is this? What are you going to do for money?
Work.
Well, who's going to be taking care of the child when you're working?
Well, I have, like, a lot of family and friends that will help.
You do?
For 18 years?
Does your family have any money?
They have money.
They do?
They work and stuff, yeah.
What do they do? What's your dad do?
My dad?
No, your stepdad.
My stepdad delivers for alcohol companies or whatever. He delivers to liquor stores.
Drives a truck full of booze?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. That's something you should do when you're in high school or college. That's a college job right there.
And you, by the way,
for a 45-year-old man.
You see how you've recapitulated your experience. You've recreated your experience with your biological dad who checked out at the beginning.
I'm sorry?
Where is your biological dad?
He lives like 75 miles from me.
How often do you see him?
Every weekend.
Every weekend?
Yeah, he still comes down just about every weekend.
And is it always been?
I have a great dad.
You have what?
I have a great dad.
Great dad? It's always been that way?
Yeah, yeah. He comes down for, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays. Him and my mom, they tolerate each other for us.
Wait a minute, uh-huh. Belinda, him coming down on holidays is not him coming down every weekend.
Well, he does come down every weekend, but he spends, like, the holidays at our mom's house.
And he's been doing that since he left originally?
Yeah, since my mom separated.
All right.
Okay.
Listen, I'm all right. Here's the deal, Belinda. You got to tell this guy, you got to tell him to ask or get off the pot.
Right.
This man of yours. Because he's either going to be financially liable to this kid, or you guys are getting married, or whatever.
We change our tune because she has decent relationships with her primary male caretakers.
Yes,
right.
We do.
We immediately go, well, this guy must be okay.
Well,
she needs to get this guy to marry her.
He's not great, but
yeah, but it's not going to be a disaster,
right?
Because she picked him.
Right.
She's not a disaster. So yeah, get him to marry her. That's it. Tell this guy, all right, ask her to get off the pot. It's time.
Okay,
time to belly up.
Yeah, she's bellying up. Let's talk to Karen, who's 22. Karen?
Hi.
Hey.
My question is about the use of ecstasy. I've been using it for about 2 years. And, like, back in last winter, I used it a lot for, like, 6 months. And I'm pretty sure I already know what it does to my head.
But what does it do to your head?
Like, it already, like, deletes the synapses that are in your head and, like, makes holes in your head. And
so how are you experiencing that?
I don't know. Like, well, I feel kind of dumber at school and stuff.
Yeah, so it'll cause memory problems. That's one thing.
And my eyes flutter, and I don't feel like I'm concentrated as much.
What else? That's part of it. Pretty soon you'll start having panic attacks, and you'll start getting very, very, very depressed.
Yeah.
All right, what's the question?
My question is, like, more so, like, what does it do to, like, the body? Like, because I've had, like, I dropped 35 pounds and, like...
Well, maybe it's a little speedy and you don't want to eat.
Well, no, I know. But I guess I'm just, like, wondering, like, what effects does it have on the body?
Well, how much of it are you doing?
Well, I don't do it anymore because I had an emotional breakdown, but...
Well, don't worry about the body part.
By the way, it's not an emotional breakdown. It's a biological injury of your brain. Would it be hallucinating and stuff?
No, hold on. What's it do to your body other than
related to the brain. It's all secondary to what's going on in the central nervous system. Everything goes on in your body. Your body's health is dependent on your central nervous system.
Your body's your brain's bitch.
Right. And when your brain, like if you cut a nerve to your, let's say, your arm would shrivel. That's basically your whole body is dependent on the health of your central nervous system. You give a big blow to your central nervous system, your whole body doesn't function as well.
Yeah, I'm going to give a blow to my central system when I get home. I'm going to try to give it a blow.
You're going
to
get a blow?
Probably just have to use my hand. All right, let's take ourselves a little break here.
Yeah.
That's Drew. The main man, Drew. Mm-hmm. All right, man.
All right.
Hey, bro, let's get back to the phones.
I do.
Take care of a little business, huh?
Yeah.
Casey?
Yeah.
Hey, 13?
Hey. Huh?
You're 13?
Yeah.
Casey the girl?
Yes.
What's up, Casey?
In the past 4 months, I've had, like, 3 or 4 complete strangers that I've just, you know, met tell me they love me, and kind of creepy.
How old are the guys?
Between, like, 14 and 17.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. It could be just because how I look. That's what my sister thinks, because I'm 13. I've been to, like, 18 or 21 before.
Are you hot stuff?
I wouldn't really know. I don't really think I'm nothing special.
Good. That's nice. Keep that modesty.
This is where that tomboy story gets going.
Right.
This is where it starts.
I'm not a tomboy.
All right. Well, listen. Don't trust any of these guys.
Yeah, I don't really, but it's just
really weird.
Well, here's the deal, Casey. If you genuinely evoke all this sort of stuff in men, and that you're sort of hitting an age where that starts to happen, you've got to manage it. It's not about you. It's about how you look, and this is how what guys respond to, and you're going to have to sort of figure out how to judge people's response to you and how to manage that and how to contain some of this and get past that and see who the people are behind these sort of impulses they get that they're really just reacting to how you look.
Here's what makes me horrible at this job. All her question fell on deaf ears because I was thinking about Casey, the male name, and Casey, the female name.
Yeah.
And the female, C-A-S-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, the male thing, is KC.
Sometimes, yeah.
A lot of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the hell's that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the K for?
Mm.
K is what? K stands for what?
I don't know.
Just KC?
I don't know.
And why is there a KC and a KC and it's one's written and the other's initialed?
I don't know.
And is
this
there?
This is why being you must be truly miserable.
I know, because I can't focus on the call. I'm thinking about KC. And Casey.
Now, she had an interesting question. She's,
well, what is KC? Doesn't stand. What?
How would you help this woman who's starting to become a woman and men are reacting like
that? Who would name their kid with initials that meant nothing? KC doesn't mean anything. It's not like the guy's name is Kirk Charles or something. All right. Oh, hillbillies?
So what do you tell this woman?
What? Just tell her to keep her pants on. She's fine. She just wanted to brag that guys are starting to notice.
No, it's kind of freaking her out. You can imagine that.
Well,
being weird all of a sudden.
She's becoming a woman.
Can you imagine how weird that would be? All of a sudden, in your head, you're the same person. You walk down the street and people are flipping out, having strange reactions.
Oh, when a woman blossoms, society takes notice of it.
Not men take notice, especially, right?
I'd say society. But, yeah, men you got to watch out for. But women notice as well.
Yeah, you're right.
They start getting a little catty and a little snide sometimes.
I guess you can get into restaurants more easily.
Yeah. Hell, dogs notice when women start to blossom.
Really?
They smell you.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Good time.
Yeah. The point is men, you know, what's the big difference between the age 13 and age 16 for a guy? Bad skin.
More zits, yeah.
More zits. Your voice starts cracking. You get a little more spastic. You went from cute to a spaz in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I mean, you take a look at a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old boy, nothing cuter.
Mm-hmm.
You show me a 14-year-old boy, I'll show you a mess. All a-holes and elbows.
But
you know what I mean?
That's
big,
the
gawky
the
guy.
Handiwork of testosterone. There it is. Boom.
Can't your bones hurt? You can't run right. You look weird. You got braces and bad skin.
Mm-hmm.
Hair. You don't know what the hell's going on with your hair. You're a mess. Then you become a male that kind of works out okay. But halfway between there, that's like you're not quite a butterfly. You're still caterpillar.
Slug.
Yeah, slug. Eve?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, so I don't know. This sounds really weird, but I've been with this guy for like a year and a half, and I always kind of like pursue sex, and he'll go along with it. He's not like the one initiating it, but when he does initiate it, like when he touches me or anything like that, it feels like I'm getting raped, kind of like. I don't know. I get that feeling in my stomach.
Good times.
Has that ever happened to you when you were a child? Were you ever overpowered in some way?
Well, I don't know, like, I guess I could say maybe my dad, he was abusive, like, he molested my sister. I don't know if anything ever happened to me, but...
Did you ever witness that, maybe?
I didn't witness it, but he was abusive, like, physically, like, I was kind of the one that had to step in.
All right, so oftentimes that sort of creates that need for sex, that energy, the momentum of sexuality, and then it says something about how you feel about your sexuality if it's sort of pursued, you feel ashamed or dirty or, like, violated. So you have to constantly be the one in control of the sexual experience.
Okay.
That's all right. That's understandable given the history you've been through.
Okay, because weird because I don't know if other guys, like, because I've had sex with other guys in the past and, like, they've, like, done stuff and it kind of hasn't made me feel sick. But I don't know. It's like now I'm in this, like, serious relationship.
So if it's a guy that's not available and you're not emotionally involved with, maybe it's maybe even like it better when they sort of violate you.
Okay.
So it's sort of right? It's a recreation of all that. So you feel shameful of your sexuality, and that sort of puts you in touch with that part of yourself that you hide away and are ashamed of by communing in a shameful way. while with this guy, you have a more significant, intimate relationship with, when the shame starts entering the picture, it makes you feel bad.
Okay, because I didn't know what was wrong with me.
Well, it's just that this all sort of needs to be integrated. It needs to be more of a whole Eve, rather than pieces of Eve, a shameful Eve and a good Eve. You need to sort of get a more, what's called whole object constancy, a more complete sense of yourself.
I like the summer's Eve myself. And are you still talking to this guy you call your dad?
No, he's in jail.
Good.
Yeah.
The guy puts a shiv in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, be nice. When's he getting out?
Like, I don't know, I think 2008.
Good. I hope he comes out, like, missing an eye.
Yeah, me too. That's
what
I don't.
Yeah.
But be careful. This experience with this dad has sort of splintered you inside into good pieces and bad pieces of yourself. And naturally enough, that comes out in your sexuality.
Yeah, good time. So, you know. But Eve, you sound okay.
Okay, thanks.
For someone who's been through what you've been through.
We're talking to the good Eve, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just be careful, baby. Stay away from the drugs. Don't get pregnant.
I'll try not to.
Okay, get a job and fight to keep it.
Oh, I've got one.
Watch out. Watch out for those boys. I don't trust them.
Thanks.
Oh, your dad. All right, good times.
All right, bye.
Yeah. What a guy. It's like, you know, if you got a dad who's molesting your sister, he might as well just molest you, too. I mean, you got your choice. Maybe you're not getting molested. You're just being raised by the guy who thought it'd be a good idea to boink your sister.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's your dad.
There's your dad.
Good times.
Yeah, he's running the camp.
Yeah.
That's the guy skippering your ship. Mm-hmm. This guy thought this would be a good idea. Fantastic. Yeah, and at a certain point, it's like, what's wrong with me? I mean, at least my sister he's raping is getting some form of attention from this guy.
Hmm.
Sure, stop that. Andrew?
Yes.
22?
Yes. I got a question for you guys. Anyways, it's kind of a little bit of a story. I'm a waiter. This girl from Malibu that's kind of a beach volleyball player or whatever came down. She was at a show. She came down. She came to our restaurant, went to the show, came back just to see me, left her a number. She's gorgeous. I went on a date with her Sunday. We got kind of intimate, had a really good time. We were talking on the phone for like a while. I drove up to Malibu, picked her up, take her to my show because I'm an actor down in San Clemente.
What kind of show?
It's a drama. It's a drama.
Dinner theater kind of thing?
No, it's an equity theater. You get paid if you have your union card. I don't have my union card, so I don't get paid, but you can get paid.
Does anybody in your cast get paid?
No, they only hire people that don't have union cards. But all right, go ahead, Andrew.
All right, bro.
All right, brother.
So this girl on the way down, she's kind of like one of this L.A. girls, like on the scene, like she goes to these VIP parties, and I kind of told her she was shallow and she needed to have more substance in her life. Because I'm from Boston, dude, and I'm not really used to that whole thing.
Wait a minute. What does her going to VIP parties have to do with her being shallow?
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, all right.
All right, dude. So she was telling me I'm missing out a VIP party with Matt Damon to be here with you. So I kind of took that as an insult, kind of being like, you know what, whatever, then get lost.
Yeah.
I was really rude to her. So she, like, while I was at my place, she was supposed to be, like, sitting in my car, like, thinking over things. And, like, she took my car and drove to, like, this pizzeria. Called a friend up in Malibu, drove all the way down to San Clemente, dude.
All right.
Who cares?
Oh, we care. So now what?
She drove, anyway, so a friend got
sorry,
came in.
So anyways, dude, I'm all like stressing about this, dude. I really like this girl. I kind of messed up, dude. I was just wondering maybe, like, I don't know, man. She told me that let's take it slow, and her friends are telling me, like, get rid of this guy. He's kind of a weirdo.
Her friends are telling her that.
Yeah.
You mean, so she is willing to date you still?
I don't know, dude. She said she still likes me, dude, but she's like, can't believe that I treated her like this and was really surprised that those kind of actions would come out of me, bro.
All right. Hold on, guy dude, bro. Now listen.
I know what this is.
Huh?
You know what this is, right?
I'm too tired to know.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, jealousy. Flat out.
He's jealous of her?
Mm-hmm.
Why, bro?
Because, bro, dude, she said, you know, I was wanting to go to this party. Look how exciting the party was. All these cool people are going to be there. And I let that go because it'll be with you. And he goes, berserk. It's aggressive with her. How dare you? How shallow you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that's aggressive.
Well, to the point it freaked her out. She sat in the car and then they called somebody to come down to get her.
Mm. No, it sounds to me like she's being a shallow little bitch and just talking about dropping names and this and that. Guys, shut up.
No.
Yeah.
Anderson. That was nice. No, I disagree. I disagree.
I think anyone in there knows we're doing a show.
I think he felt inferior. No, he was ashamed. He was shamed by this.
I'm wondering if
he's envious.
These two may deserve each other.
Maybe,
Andrew?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You're a nice looking guy, right?
Yeah, most girls think so.
You bartend. You do some acting.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you're acting.
Right.
You got something to share with society. Right. All right, so here's the thing. You got two people, both of you have egos. And I think they crossed paths a little bit. Yes, Andrew kind of initiated it.
That's, right.
That's why he's calling. Wants to repent.
Here's the problem, though. When two narcissistic people get together, when one has a success, the other is diminished by the other's success. As opposed to sharing in it, he's diminished.
Andrew's got a serious ego problem.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, you're so shallow for bringing this up because it diminishes me. It makes me feel less that you're talking about Matt Damon. As opposed to thinking, geez, she's excited about this thing. She's leaving it to be with me. That's cool.
Well, that's the whole thing, Andrew. And it's a good point that Drew brings up, which is, you could look at it as, hey, you're rubbing this Matt Damon thing in my face. Or you could look at it as, she'd rather be with me than be with Matt Damon.
As opposed to being diminished by it because you're jealous.
You can be built up by it. But here's the deal. You're 22. You got a good life. You're good looking. You got a lot of ego on you. She's got a lot of ego on you. And now you're both leading men. Or she's a leading woman. You're a leading man. The point is, there's only... You're in a play where there's one lead and the other one's got to play a rock or a rabbit or something, or a bush. So you want to get with her, you can call and apologize and stuff, but I wonder if you're not going to set her off again an hour into your next date.
No, she'll set him off.
Or she'll set you off.
Yeah.
However it works.
Absolutely.
So think long and hard about it because you just may be a leader. I mean, you just may need some stupid chick just to worship you who has a low self-esteem. You know what I'm saying, Andrew?
Guys.
Yeah.
But, see, man, that's what I didn't want, though. I have tons of girls. Like, I had a girl pick me up at this.
I know. You're hot.
No, I'm not hot, dude. But I've had girls do that, and they just tell me that they think I'm good looking, dude.
Right.
And I open my mouth, I ruin it, dude. So I didn't want a girl that was just about my looks, dude. I wanted a girl that was, like, cool, that I could talk to.
All right.
So even the girls that worship him think he's no good when he opens his mouth. Oh, my God.
I don't know, dude.
Oh, boy.
By the way, how's someone from Boston working the dude and the guy and the bro so much? Andrew, here's the deal. You want a second chance, don't come up with an elaborate plan. Just call her and say, wait, you know what? I was out of line. I apologize. Can we go out? It won't happen again. And if it does, that'll be the last you see me. She'll give you a second date. Or third date, or whatever it is, and then try not to put your foot in your mouth. That's it. We'll be back. Nip, love line. I'm Adam. Drew, over there. Let's see. What is up, Drew?
Yeah.
What's up?
No, dude, what's going on? Bro?
Guy, dude, bro? What day is it? Wednesday?
Yeah.
All righty. Let's get back to the phones, huh?
Right.
Wednesday's phone call day.
Look at that lineup next week. You see that? Guess?
Yeah. Bob Crane Jr.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Got some folks from that 70s show.
The female leads.
Oh, yeah. It's nice.
Busy Phillips back. Voice of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill.
Chick.
Really?
That's what I hear.
That'll be interesting.
Voice never changes, huh? Yeah. Shelly?
Hi.
And you don't have to pay him as much.
Huh?
What's up, Shelly? 19.
Yeah, not much. I have a question. A couple years ago, you guys were talking about moving in together.
We were?
Yeah, a couple summers ago, you were away promoting Man Show, and, you know, you're missing Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about moving in together, you know, getting one-seater cars, driving into work every night.
Oh, yeah, the gay life, yeah.
That was Jimmy and Adam were going
to
live together.
No, me and you, too.
Really?
Oh, imagine the life.
You're going to have to break the news to Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I remember worrying about that, in fact.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that life we'd have together, Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, you combine our two incomes, you're into some...
Literally a millionaire.
Literally millionaires. You combine those incomes, you get rid of the wife and kids, the baggage.
It's an expense.
I mean, listen, you could drive around a $400,000 or $500,000. You could drive around a Bugatti
sports
car.
Instead of the private schools. And
Yes. I'd be driving a Lamborghini Murcielago around. It'd be like only 12-cylinder automobiles. That'd be the minimum. 12-cylinder would be the minimum amount of cylinders of a car I would have. I'd be like the house husband.
Oh, you'd be
walking
so handy.
Around with my tool bags on all day. You out doctoring.
Oh, my God.
Draw you up a highball when you come
home.
You
make that pasta dish I like so much.
Yeah. You like the dry sack on ice. You come home. I got your drink waiting for you. Huh? Shut up. You're ruining everything. Yeah. Oh, man. I got that nice big house up in Pasadena.
Ooh, oh. Fix that all up. Build a deck.
Ooh. I'm sorry. What's that, Sean?
I just wanted to say you should, give us some recipes.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh my God.
Cranberries. Cranberries are coming up.
You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. But you know.
Yeah. Hey. You know. Thanksgiving.
Would be the bitch, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Halloween's. I'd be the bottom.
Yeah.
I'd definitely be your bottom.
The catcher.
I'd catch. That's right. Sitting around all day.
Cooking. Fixing the house up. Fixing interior design.
Gossiping on the phone. Talking smack about what other people were wearing all day. Horizontal stripes when you're husky? I don't know. Not my call. All right, Shelly.
I have another question for Drew.
Pumpkin pie, though. Halloween's coming up. Everyone bake a nice pumpkin pie. It's real easy.
Drew, you're going to be up in Whistler in a couple months?
Yeah.
About when? Because I go up to Whistler quite often.
I will be there the week between Christmas and New Year at one of those hotels right there on the hill. Those little condos. Yeah.
Dragging the whole family.
The whole family between Christmas and New Year.
No. See, yes. If me and you were together, we take a private, charter jet.
Go to Aspen.
Go out there. Oh, yeah. Me walking around in reflective shades and big fur-lined coat.
Oh, my God.
Wearing one of those half-beanie, half-sweatband things obnoxious people wear. They're sort of like a ski beanie, but they don't have a top on them. And they're more like a sweatband, but they're like a headband that's like 4 inches wide.
Yeah.
Only super obnoxious people wear those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. It's not a hat.
Keep
it's not
warm.
A sweatband.
Keep your ears warm.
Uh-oh, Drew's wife has one. I knew it. I knew your wife had one. One more reason to dump her and hook up with me.
I had one.
Ooh, yeah. You had the one your wife got you.
Herb.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I read you like the Torah with that, those super obnoxious half sweatbands, half beanie caps that only obnoxious people wear. They keep your ears warm. Now I realize you have like 8 of those.
Oh, my God.
Now you have one in your car.
Herb,
that's what I'm picturing.
What's going on?
All right, well, pretty much the situation is, I'm 23 years old. I'm terrified right now to have sex with my girlfriend, and the reason is she's a nice school girl. She goes to University of Arizona, and pretty much she's been hanging with, like, a bad group of crowd that her female friends are into raves and stuff like that. Just recently, like 3 weeks ago, pretty much we've been having sex, and the thing where I'm terrified, she formed in a way that I've never, ever seen her before. She acting, like, too slutty about things, and she's acting very, very disgusting. I'll give you an example. This week, which is something I never had thought about doing, she requested me to shave.
Yeah.
My beard and my mustache and my hair. And she wanted me to perform oral to her.
Hold on. Herb, yeah. I don't believe any of this.
Well, that's the situation.
First off, I don't believe your name's Herb, because there's nobody under the age of 56 named Herb.
Bitch. Herb. H-E-R-B.
That's his name.
No.
That's probably Herbert.
That's what I'm saying. I don't believe it.
Sorry, that's the thing. That's the thing. That's the part I'm going to get.
All right, she wants you to shave your goatee, shave your head, and do what?
And shave your pubes.
No, I already shaved my hair. I already shaved my mustache. I don't have a goatee to shave my little hair, my fuzz hair from down my beard.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she want me to touch her down there and also to eat her, and she want me to call myself, which is really disgusting. She's like, when you perform oral, I want you to look at me and call yourself Herbert the pervert. And I'm like, that's gross. I'm not going to do that. And right now, we're arguing about the situation because she wanted me to perform things.
Well, wait a minute. How are you supposed to call yourself Herbert the pervert with a mouth full of coos?
Well, that's what she wants. She acting totally weird. Like, she never acted like this before, and I think it's her friends, actually.
No.
Like, for example, she was like, okay, before you come, I want you to let me know. I'm like, okay. I'm about to come. This is what she does. She stops and she put her finger where it's about to come out, the whole word's about to come out, and she lets go, and it hurts like hell, and it shots up. And I don't know why she gets aroused from that. She likes doing that all of a sudden.
I'm like, hell.
It may be, but she's got some issues going on. It has nothing to do with her friends. The reason she's hanging out with those friends is she's got some stuff flying around in her head. That's why she hangs out with people. You sort of, they're not doing anything to her. She's part of that. And you know why these bizarre sort of fascist behaviors.
Herb, what's your nationality?
My nationality? Oh, Hispanic.
Hispanic. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if this is bogus or not. Because you sound black. Black guys don't make bogus phone calls. And Hispanic guys don't really, you know, I think how it goes. So white guys, the number one bogus phone call race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Hispanic, followed by black, followed by Asian. Asians only pick up the phone for, like, calling in fires and things like that. They don't even talk on the phones. Yeah. Yeah, they're very sparing with the phone.
Well,
smart people.
In my voice, nor is their laughter, you know.
All right.
No, Herb,
all
right, look. Listen, Herb. This is, it's not explicitly anything wrong with her. It's obviously something that's not right from your standpoint. You're not comfortable with this. She's not being empathic with what, or sensitive to what's important to you or what's comfortable for you. The kinds of friends she hangs out with, that's reflective of a part of her. They're not doing anything to her. Get that out of your head. This is her you're seeing, and you're not comfortable with it. You may want to think about this relationship.
Let's show her, buddy. I have great, great love for all of you. I was telling Drew during the break.
He was telling what he was, well, be fair, what you're going to do to me, with me.
I'm going to make great love to you, Drew. Mm-hmm. Have a great life. I think I'm the guy. I'm the first guy, right?
Oh,
that's the bottom,
the catcher.
Right?
No,
catcher.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Anderson knows. And so until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. How are you supposed to call yourself Herbert the pervert with a mouth full of coos?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.